Please take your Bible and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 18. It's the story of Jonathan and David. We have been talking in prayer meeting about God's covenant with mankind. Now, when he had finished, verse 1, speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. That word knit means bound, tied together. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Saul took him that day and would not let him go to his father's house anymore. And then Jonathan and David made a covenant. This is a covenant made between Jonathan and David. Jonathan was perhaps in his 40s. David, a young man of about 20. And David saw Jonathan and he said, he's like a father to me. He's a mentor to me. He is a soul brother to me. And David loved him as he loved his own soul. You know, that's rare in the church. That is rare. Listen to the next verse. And then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. Verse 3, it repeats it again. And Jonathan took off the robe that was on him. He was the prince under Saul. Next in line for kingship. He took his robe off and he gave it to David and his armor, his sword, his bow, and his belt. And we talked Wednesday night, those were covenant utensils. The belt of strength, his war weapons, his robe, everything he had, he gave to David. That meant that my right to kingship now belongs to you. I love you as I love my own soul. Turn briefly to 2 Samuel chapter 1. 2 Samuel chapter 1. And read with me, please. Verse 23 through 26. Saul and Jonathan were what? What does your Bible say? Beloved. And pleasant in their lives. And in their death, oh my, they were not divided. In their death, they were swifter than eagles, they were stronger than lions. O daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you in scarlet with luxury, who put garments of gold on your apparel, how the mighty have fallen in the midst of the battle. David receives word that Jonathan and Saul are dead. And what does he say in verse 26? I am distressed for you, O my brother, Jonathan, for you have been pleasant to me. Your love to me was wonderful. And what does the next verse say? The next part of that verse, surpassing what? The love of a woman. Have you ever met somebody that the moment you met them, you loved them? And they were not your wife. They were not your child. They were just someone you love. Raise your hand if you have. My dad was 89 years old. Russ Francis, the tight end for the New England Patriots, was hired by my brother, who owns a Cadillac garage, to be a fleet salesman. I didn't know he was a professional football player. Russ was about 41, 6 foot five, 260, handsome, strikingly handsome man. I sat down and talked with him one day. You know what he said to me? You have an incredible father. I said, I beg your pardon. He said, your dad. I love your dad. And I noticed that every day, dad was kind of bound to the house. Russ would come. This football hero who won two NFL trophies. And he would take dad driving in that old 69 Oldsmobile. Oh, yeah, that was Dad's pride and joy. My brother restored it. 69 Oldsmobile that you could eat off. And Russ would drive Dad, and it was a bench seat, and he put his arm around my father. What in the world did Russ Francis, a football hero find in my father? He found the Jonathan. He said to me one day, you don't realize how precious your father is. And you know, before dad died, I could not understand why my father loved a man, Russ Francis, more than his own son who was in ministry. And my dad said to me, Rocky, Russ is a soul brother. I said, well, Dad, what do you talk about? You're with Russ every day of the week. Do you know, 2 months before Daddy died, every day Russ would come over and take him riding. And the one question he would ask my father is, tell me about life. Tell me about life. I want to learn more about you. Tell me about yourself. And Dad said, oh, you don't want to hear about me. He said, oh, yes, I do. Tell me about yourself. Tell me about your life. And Dad opened up to Russ. At Dad's funeral, there were about 350 or 60 people there, and there's Russ Francis right in the front. And everybody's looking at him because he had been a New England Patriot, tight end and quarterback. And they looked at him, and one of them came up after the funeral and said, is that Russ Francis? I said, yes, it is. What in the world did he have to do with your father? And I said, their souls were knit together. One day, Dad looked at him and he said, Russ, Jesus is coming. And the Sabbath is sacred. Let me tell you about the truth. And Russ would ask Dad, and Dad would talk to him and open his life like a spring. And Russ said to me one day, I found the truth, you know. I said, you have? He said, yes. And your father's taking the truth with him to the grave. Oh, I wish he were alive. He said, I'm crying like I lost my own son. I could not figure that out. Until my wife received a call from Carol Gister in Florida. She said, could you come down? My wife went down and spent the last few days with Carol. Carol became a blood sister to her. And my wife played a key role and Carol's grandchildren being adopted by a retired conference president's son and his wife. These two little children. You see, Carol's daughter was into drugs and everything else, and Christine said, Carol, let's connect the boys before you die. Let's do something. And she did. One little red-headed boy was the cutest little guy. And when Christine took those boys over to Obed Graham's house and he connected his son with those boys, his son and his wife loved them immediately. And now they're raising those boys. And Carol has fallen asleep. Christine cried for days. Let me give you some things to think about. Number one, David loved Jonathan as he loved himself. Secondly, Jonathan honored David above himself. He exchanged his royal garments, verse 2 Samuel chapter 8. Jonathan, number three, constantly defended David. If you have a Jonathan, when people are bad-mouthing you, he will step up. And he will not allow your name, your reputation, your love to be trodden underfoot. He will stand in the gap for you. Would you say amen? Amen. He remained his friend through thick and thin. Number five, Jonathan gave David a place to share his hurt and his pain. A lasting, oh my, at last parting, the Bible says, before they parted in 1 Samuel 20:41, they kissed each other. Oh, I would love to have seen that. Chuck Swindoll says of David and Jonathan, when you've got a friend this close, your soul is knitted to his. You don't have to explain why you do what you do. And last, Jonathan was a never-ending source of encouragement. The words of Jonathan were, you're going to be king, and I will be next to you. 1 Samuel 23:15-17. You are going to be the king, and I will simply be in your presence. I wonder how it is to give away something that precious. I read the story of Paul. His brother gave him an automobile, and he took it to work. to his place of business. And when he came out, he noticed a beggar walking around this brand new Chevrolet. And the beggar walked up to him. He says, "Is this your car?" He said, "Yes, it is." "How did you get this car?" He said, "My brother gave it to me." And he said, "I wish..." You're probably thinking, my brother would give me a car like that. No, that's not what he said. He said, "I wish I could be a brother like that and give a car away." I wish I could be a brother like that. I've had a few friends, good friends, one or two that I've mentored, and I've learned very quickly that often, please don't misunderstand this, but often your best friends are not in church. How many of you know that's true? You know why? They're because they love you for who you are. We become judgmental. Segregation is our word. The things we say, the things we do separate each other. We become separatist. God doesn't desire that. Would you say amen to that? I'm glad that David had Jonathan. Ellen White said God provided for David a Jonathan. And that's so rare in the church today. If you have a Jonathan, thank God you have a Jonathan that cares for you like that. In closing, Bob Carver was like a Jonathan. I told you so much about him, but I didn't tell you this. Just before he died, I called him he called me. The nurse said, "He wants to talk to you." He was in his bed, and it was one of these hospital beds a doctor gave him just a few hours. And I said, "Bob?" He said, "Yes." "Is that you, Rocky?" I said, "It is." I said, "How are you doing?" He said, "I'm worn to a frazzle." And then he said, "Rocky, can you hear me?" I said, "Yes." He said, "I'll love you forever." He passed away a few hours after that. I called his daughter, Kathleen. She's a professional lady in Florida. Her and her husband with Florida Hospital Adventist System. And she is so broken. She lost her mom a year ago, May. And just lost her dad, and she's heartbroken. She has never had a chance to grieve. And I said to her, "Kathy, I know you don't want to hear this because it reminds you of your dad. But your dad will forever be a Jonathan." You know what this guy did? I left Lake Havasu. He left just before me, and he said, "Rocky." I said, "Yes." He said, "Do you need something?" I said, "What do you think I need?" He said, "Well, you need something. Can I give you something?" I said, "You love me. That's enough." He said, "No, I have a gift." And he gave me a 1989 Chevrolet pickup truck with 40,000 miles on it. Oh, that sounds good, but it was beat to death. There was more dings in that truck. And he said, "Get behind the wheel." And I sat behind the wheel, and he said, "Oh, you look good. You look good." And I laughed. One day soon, Jesus Christ is coming. And I want you to know that I believe, I'm firmly convinced, we are living at the end of this world, and you need a friend. And Jesus Christ says, "I will be your Jonathan. I will stick closer to you than a brother." Would you say amen to that? Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you for your wonderful love. Thank you, dear God, that in this world, even though it is rare, you provide people to instruct, to mentor, to motivate us, Lord. Sometimes we get so discouraged because it's such a tough life we live in, but we know that just over the mountain in the promised land, there's a better land, there's a better place. There'll be no more sorrow, there'll be no more heartache, no more tears. And we will live with you forever in an earth made new. Thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you for coming today.